First, though, a little bit of news, which will no doubt take us into even more festive cheer as we head towards the new year. Of course, for commuters, for rail passengers in particular, news today that regulated train fares in England will rise by 4.9% from March. That's the Department for Transport confirming that today. Let's talk to Neil Middleton, director of the campaign group Rail Future, who specialises in fares and ticketing. Neil, thanks so much for coming on the show. Expected, I'm sure, that the fares would go up. They tend to do so every year, but nonetheless, it's going to be very unwelcome for passengers.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, particularly with the quality of service we're all getting at the moment whenever we use the train. It would be one thing paying, you know, almost 5% more if when we turned up, the trains ran, they never cancelled them.
Yes.
They were rarely late and so on. Yeah, that I think is probably the biggest frustration, is that we're paying for a rubbish service, and that's just so frustrating and so annoying for everybody.
What is the situation at the moment, Neil? It can be very easy to get lost into thinking that it's always appalling, but the actual statistics and the figures do show, don't they, that the service of late has been particularly poor.
They do. And I think one of the big challenges is a lot of it depends on which operator you rely on for your train services. You know, some are good, some are bad. And so, you know, just looking at the national average or the regional average, it's just so dangerous at the moment. Mm. Yeah, because some people are quite happy because, you know, they're getting promised and getting delivered good service. Others are getting hopeless service day in, day out.
But I suppose the argument would be, and you perhaps have to be rather credulous to believe this, but the argument would be perhaps from the operators and from the government, well, look, that's the problem. The fact that the service is poor means we need more money. And so that's why we need this above inflation increase, even though it's below where inflation has been for most of the year, but it's above it now. We need this above inflation increase to fund improvements to the service.
Well, that would be their argument. But I think the thing they always forget all the time these days is that once upon a time, you know, the commuter was the backbone of the railway. And you and I, when we were commuters, you know, we were price insensitive. We had to pay. Now, so much of the railway, you know, the majority of the railway's business is the leisure traveller.
Yes.
And they are price sensitive and quality sensitive.
Mm.
So it's the classic one. First of all, you can make yourself a good product, and then you might think about edging the price up, but you do it that way around, not the other way around. Because people think, say, hey, I won't go, which is bad for the economy in many other ways, or they go by car, which is bad for congestion, bad for carbon, you know, decarbonisation, those sorts of things.
There has been just a transformation, hasn't there? And it's one that we don't talk about enough, just in exactly what you just said there, Neil, which is that how the trains are now primarily, not exclusively, but more and more have become used for leisure travel, much busier at the weekends and sometimes even there in the week. This is largely as a result, though not exclusively, of the pandemic. That is a real transformation to the way the system operates, isn't it, and kind of what we expect of it.
Absolutely. And even, you know, while there were lots of people like nurses and those care home people you were just mentioning a few minutes ago that you know, have to go to work every day they work, there's lots of us who can now have a choice. Do we work at home? Do we go into the office? Or what portion of the two? So, you know, that this sort of optionality for a good portion of rail travellers is just so important. You know, and they're competing much, much more with Zoom and the like as well now. So the portion of people that are not price sensitive, you know, has gone right up through the roof compared to what it was pre-pandemic.
And of course, at the same time as we've had rail fares going up year after year after year, it's worth saying, of course, that something like petrol duty has not been increased since 2010. I mean, the government is, I mean, in that sense alone, of course, petrol prices have gone up and down and largely up over the course of that time. But nonetheless, you can say, in terms of the incentive that the government is sending, the government is basically saying, well, use your car.
Absolutely. And they shouldn't be thinking that. They should be thinking, you know, they make grand promises about decarbonisation and the like, and they're not delivering on them. And they're not, you know, they're instead, you know, spending money they promised on HS2 on potholes in London, you know, which is, you know, that's a really weird decision.
Well, we should be doing that anyway, really. I mean, that's just...
Absolutely.
I know you're not.
I agree entirely with you, but it's a very weird set of leaps of faith to go from cancelling a major bit of infrastructure to spending the money, a major bit of infrastructure to the north, to spending it on potholes in the in London.
And it's not just England as well. It was the Department for Transport today, but I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, that the Scottish Government announced that rail fares there were going to increase by 8%.
Absolutely, but at least in Scotland, they're trying something innovative. They've done away with peak fares, and they're now trying off-peak fares all day, every day. Yes, they've gone for a much simpler model of fares. And, of course, and that's the other problem that's around, is that people, it's just such a nightmare to work out which fare you should buy, which ticket
super
you
off-peak,
buy.
Super off-peak,
off-peak. Peak, weekend peak.
Weekend
advance,
peak, yeah.
You know. Every you know, special, you know, this, yes. Left, right, and so. And of course, they don't, and even a fare like super off peak, it means very different things in different places.
Yes.
So it's not as if you can turn up and say, okay, you know, I'm traveling at 3 p.m., a super off peak will be my ticket, because it won't be, it could be something else.
Yes.
It's just a nightmare.
Yes. And, I should say, I mean, just in terms of the peak travel, I mean, we are talking enormous sums, aren't we, sometimes? I mean, in terms of some of the intercity travel. I mean, I travel a lot for work and so on. Sometimes you have to just, you know, get the train at 8 o'clock or whatever it happens to be. And we're talking kind of absolutely enormous figures.
Yeah, absolutely. And that headline number, you know, it's always a disincentive for other people, because you think to yourself, gosh, yeah, I'm going to Leeds for £30. But you've heard that the headline price is £250, and you're worried that you produce your ticket and they'll say, oh, no, that's not valid. I'll have £250 off you, please.
Mm.
And that's really not an incentive to go by train.
Uh-huh.
And the big thing about the railway is it's a system that's designed to shift lots of people. And that's what you want. You want lots of people on your trains, because your costs are largely fixed. And your revenue is variable, but depending on the number of people you've got on it.
Well, I'm just looking now. If I was to try and book a train to from London to Manchester, peak time, well, early in the new year, sort of first week of January or so, it's £251.
Yeah.
From London to get there at sort of 8:30 in the morning, £251.
Yeah.
Which is just absolutely mad.
Yes. So what are you going to do? You're either going to get your employer to pay it, if you're lucky enough to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Or you'll say, I can drive there for £70 or £80. Mm. And of course, what you forget is that the M1 and the M6 and the M5 or the M62, depending where you are, all truly horrendous motorways.
Yes.
In the rush hour, you know, so actually you don't go, and that's not good for the economy either.
And we wonder why we have a productivity problem. Neil Middleton there, director of the campaign group Rail Future.